It's Thursday, the day we read from your letters, and our reporting on religious matters drew comment from several quarters.
Yesterday's report by Barbara Bradley Haggerty on the Christian Science Church and its efforts to attract new members led Raymond Myers of Nashville, Tennessee, to write that we were snookered by a small group of well-known strident church dissidents. Is Christian Science being sold out or watered down to attract converts? No. I should know, he writes. I am a convert of 30 years.
Another Christian Scientist felt differently. I'm very pleased with the way the report shared with listeners the pulls and challenges which the church is facing, writes Mark Molenbrock of Phoenix, Arizona. These may be challenging times for the church, but they are also exciting times. A real reawakening is happening.
Our obituary earlier this week for Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, drew some mail from listeners who felt we weren't critical enough of the group and its role on American college campuses. But Art Tyree of Marin, California, would like to hear more such coverage. He writes, Bill Bright has done more to change people's lives for the better than any of the various twinkling dodos who spiral their way through many of your news and feature pieces. It would be a fair day when NPR begins to cover the work of such luminaries as Mr. Bright before they pass from our midst.
The first installment in our series on girls and juvenile justice disturbed John W. Canaday in Indianapolis, Indiana. The tone of the segment focused on the child-rearing of the troubled girl, the person as victim. I suspect we would be inclined to be much less forgiving if this report were recast with all male pronouns. I would hasten to advise careful attention to buying into the notion that girls are no less and no more responsible for their actions and predicaments than their male counterparts.
The item which prompted probably the most mail this week was our commentary from Marianne Gray. 25 years ago, she killed an 8-year-old boy when he ran in front of her car. News of the accident at a Santa Monica street market, where an out-of-control elderly driver killed 10 people, prompted Ms. Gray to speak of pain, guilt, and also forgiveness.
Michael Richter of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, writes, I'm glad that after 25 years of mea culpa, she has found the means to forgive herself. But to suggest an analogy between her accident and the horrifying carnage at the Santa Monica Farmers Market is absurd and overreaching. When an 86-year-old man's car plows uncontrollably through a crowded market, killing 10 and injuring at least 35 others, and the question is whether he was competent to be behind the wheel in the first place, then the circumstances are too grotesquely different for Ms. Gray to credibly supplicate our forgiveness. There is no comparison, and forgiveness has no meaning in the extremity of this tragedy.
But Ruth Hemphill in Nashville sent her heartfelt thanks to Ms. Gray. She writes, after hearing a co-worker today say the 86-year-old man should be charged, Ms. Gray's version of the story is still bringing tears to my eyes. Perhaps her story will encourage a little more compassion from her listeners.
Finally, my interview with Christopher O'Reilly gave at least one listener the giggles. O'Reilly is a classical pianist, but his new CD contains 15 songs by the rock band Radiohead. O'Reilly says he started on Radiohead when he got tired of Shostakovich and Chopin preludes. Listener Ronak Shah in Boston liked the piece, but laughed at the idea that the only way to translate one of the most influential musical groups of the last several years to the average NPR listener is with a classical music interpretation. Alas, I won't complain, Shaw writes, since it continues to show that ATC is not afraid to explore the world of music without labels. Perhaps local NPR affiliates will learn that there is something other than just classical music.
He said it, we didn't, and thanks for all your comments. We love to hear from you. Our email address is atc@npr.org, and be sure to let us know where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name.